I'm Stephen Abaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Mark Bielik, president of Euricom Corporation, an award-winning top innovation executive. Mark, you've got this amazing background, so with these many outstanding contributions in innovation and executive leadership, we really appreciate you, and thank you for sharing your many experiences and deep experiences with our audience.
Thank you.
Now, Mark, do you have some lessons you can share about your time at the City of Ottawa?
Well, you know, like, I think I know that, you know, as we are, you know, going through the life, you know, like working and, you know, developing, like, you know, all kinds of projects and so on, like, you know, we come through, like, all kinds of different challenges. And I think, like, you know, City of Ottawa, like, you know, the biggest challenge was, like, you know, how do you actually create innovation in a highly bureaucratic, like, you know, world? Where, you know, you have like a lot of like, you know, people like, you know, that they are resisting change. And the technology innovation, it's always about like, you know, changing the status quo, like creating something new and so on. So the key lesson that I learned over there, like, you know, that, you know, you have to mobilize all the internal resources. You have to identify like, you know, all the rebels, and I call them like, you know, rebels within the organization, like, you know, that you can build something together that it can basically move organization, like, you know, to the next level. And I think, like, you know, that this was, like, probably the biggest single lesson that I learned, you know, while working at City of Ottawa. Be creative, be yourself, and mobilize all the resources and to create innovation.
Now, Mark, how does your prior education influence your work, and what would you do differently?
Well, I think, like, you know, education has a major impact because education role is, like, you know, to develop your brain, develop your creative thinking, and so on. So I undertook, like, you know, different levels of education, you know, like a different undergraduate studies in management science, like, you know, computer science, IT technology, and so on. So education, it basically helps you, like, you know, to develop a process that you question everything, that you find creative answers, that you can actually drive, like, you know, long-term thinking. You can actually drive also, like, you know, a dynamic changes that you are able to process incredible amounts of data and information, like, you know, that is up there and make sense out of this and create some kind of vision that, you know, you can actually implement, you know, for the world.
Now, how has your experience in influencing rapid political change in Poland, how does that support your own technology innovation in the past and into the future?
Well, I think, like, you know, that any kind of the innovation is, you know, you have to be rebel to innovate. You have to think totally different. You have to think outside of the box. You have to, you know, resist, like, you know, in a sense, resistance, like, you know, to change, like, you know, that is coming from, you know, all different sources, that, you know, you need to change. You know, things, you know, you want to influence, you know, change and so on. So I think, like, you know, that one of the key things, like, you know, like being in opposition in Poland during Solidarity times was, like, you know, that as a student, that I actually learned, like, you know, responsibility, accountability. I basically could do things, like, you know, that others wouldn't do, even if this meant, like, you know, consequences of this. And so it basically made me like a strong believer in certain set of values.
Now, you've won this sort of amazing award from Intel. Can you talk more about that?
Well, we won, like, you know, like Intel Form Factor Innovation a year ago or so. And this was, like, you know, for our innovative, like, you know, a mobile server technology that we developed. So, you know, the whole idea was, like, you know, to develop, like, you know, like the future generation of a mobile server technology that people could actually use, like, you know, a server on the go, that all kinds of the organizations, like, you know, that they are in early stages of growth, they can actually have a portable server, a laptop form factor that they can just basically move around, that they can travel with, that they can do all kinds of projects, like, you know, that require, like, you know, mobility and relocation. And so this was, like, you know, like a concept of, you know, designing the whole new category of products, like, you know, that we call mobile servers. And part of this was also developing, the whole infrastructure related, to Serve-On-A-Go, and then to Red Team, which is, rapid engineering deployment. So the whole idea was, to provide additional flexibility and efficiency to users that they actually have requirements, of having a server capability, that they can move around.
That's interesting. So let me ask maybe another question or two on that sort of innovation that you've done. Do you have a lot of customers around the world for it?
Yes. We have a lot of customers. They are from Apple Computers, companies like Lockheed Martin, Airbus, SAP, all kinds of innovative companies, that they actually see innovation as a part of the DNA, that they actually use our innovation to become more innovative. And those companies range from Australia, through Japan, China, Europe, Canada, US, all over the world. So this is very satisfying, that we actually see all kinds of innovative companies and innovative people as well, because companies are people, that they actually taking this innovative approach, and they are looking for solutions that they can actually help them to do things that they wouldn't do otherwise. We have a couple of scientists as well doing all kinds of different work from a cancer modeling to develop at Mayo Clinic to all kinds of different seismic simulations in Australia to aerospace, car manufacturers, that they actually make they implement capability that they didn't have before, and by doing this they can drive innovation. So we are very happy that our innovation can help clients to drive the innovation. So we have more innovation in the entire world.
I'm just fascinated by, this amazing sort of product series that you developed. Now, let's kind of change some of the questions here. In your current role, what are the top resources that you want to talk about and lessons that you can share with the audience?
Well, I think, for me, the top resources are always people. There's a lot of information available, all over the world, on internet, public domains and so on. But I highly value, the real people, because, for me, the real people, they have the real information, they have also, some ideas, they have, internal brain process, that, it basically makes them creative, and sharing, with different people all over the world, creativity, that they have, in different areas. It's actually helping me as well, to continue to be creative and continue me, to be innovative. And it's very motivational for me, we have all kinds of people all over the world. I would call them, mental friends, that, we can actually share, some ideas, and we can actually, make a better world.
You're in this perfect sort of sweet spot or position to look at all the sort of major things that are occurring around the world. And as a result, I'd like to get your thoughts on some of your predictions for the future.
Well, it's always difficult to talk about predictions because, we can have all kinds of different predictions in different areas, of the life. Starting from social predictions, going through technology predictions, going through economic predictions. And I would probably like to talk a little bit about, technology predictions, from Eurocom perspective. We actually see, a renaissance of computing, which is, a very positive thing, especially among, young generation of consumers. What we actually see on the marketplace, the market for content viewing devices, it's saturated. And there's more and more demand, for content, a unique, innovative content. And what we actually see, a lot of our young generation customers, they're actually turning to high-end systems, to systems that they are capable to help them to generate content. And they're actually designing new content for, everybody. So I call this like a renaissance, you know, it's like, you know, in Europe, phase of cultural phase, like, you know, that, you know, Europe went through. But this is very positive development, and we are very, very happy, like, you know, that finally, we actually see, like, you know, the second wave of young generation creators, and like, they're coming on board, that they are looking for higher performance, like, you know, computing solutions, that they are going to create, like, you know, innovative content. And we are also, like, you know, happy, like, you know, to see, like, you know, a few major initiatives, like, you know, worldwide, on utilizing technology, like, you know, to improve, like, you know, the life of people. And there's a couple projects, like, you know, on the go, like, you know, like in Europe, where, you know, they are deploying, like, you know, 3D technology, like, you know, for all kinds of, like, medical reasons, from, you know, 3D heart surgeries, like, you know, to limb creation, amputation, and replacement of limbs. So those are like very positive developments, like, you know, that, you know, they actually help, you know, overall, like, you know, the cost of healthcare to be reduced, and, you know, make a world that it's like, you know, a little bit better place, like, for all of us.
You know, those are some really interesting predictions that you've talked about. How can executives act on some of these predictions?
Well, I think, like, you know, that executive needs to have his own predictions. You know, that it's like difficult to act on predictions of, you know, multiple people, because, you know, everybody has their own predictions. Like, you know, everybody has, you know, a vision. And I think, like, you know, the biggest challenge for executives is, like, you know, how do you comprehend all kinds of the vast levels of information that you get, and you process them, and you develop, like, you know, some kind of business model that you can lead your company yourself, like, in the long term. And I think, like, you know, that one of the things, like, you know, that always, like, you know, drives me nuts, you know, is that, you know, a total lack of long-term thinking among, like, you know, especially North American executives. There's no really a focus on long-term development. You know, there's like too much focus placed, like, you know, on the whole financial aspect of companies, like, you know, short-term profit making and so on. And what drives, like, you know, like, you know, overall innovation low, but then, you know, also, like, what makes, like, you know, that the quality of overall products and quality of life of people, like, you know, it's not at the level that it should be. So I think, like, you know, the responsibility of executives is, like, not to ensure, like, no long-term growth of the company, but also, like, not to ensure, like, no that, you know, there's like a social component, you know, that, you know, there's beneficiaries, like, no that the consumers or the people, like, no that companies are serving, like, no they are benefiting, like, no from, you know, those technologies, that the technologies are deployed, like, no for civilian usage to make things, like, no better, to reduce, like, no the cost of, you know, of healthcare, or, you know, cost of other services and so on, while providing a higher quality of services.
You have an amazing background as an executive and are well-respected for your leadership. And so as a result, what are your best leadership lessons that you think would be useful to our audience?
Well, there's like, it's always like a challenge, you know, like this is like very complex question. But I think, like, you know, that one of the key things is that a leader is responsible to ensure, like, you know, that he or she has a vision, the vision, like, not for the company, but vision of the whole universe, you know, how things should basically be done. So this, like, one of the things I know that I would like to have all of the leaders to actually, you know, have the vision that they believe in, and the vision that they are implementing. Executive needs to have also, like, now, a very strong personality, because, you know, with all the changes, like, now, with all the pressure coming from all of the directions, like, now, it's very difficult, like, now, to very often, like, now, to implement the things, like, now, that they are, like, part of the vision. You know, like, executive needs to be, like, almost like as a rebel, because, you know, very often, like, now, like, the consensus, like, no, doesn't work. You know, you have to build something, like, no, on your own. And so you have to have a skills, like, no, that you can actually build things, like, no, regardless if you have so-called consensus support, like, you know, from others. And this thing is, like, you know, sometimes challenging because, you know, we would like to have, you know, everybody to buy in into what we are doing, but very often, like, it's impossible. And to drive innovation, sometimes you have to have, like, a lonely walls, in a sense, you know, that they just basically do it and then it's done. Like Steve Jobs, for example.
You know, we have this field of computing, and increasingly computing is embedded everywhere, and it's critical to every organization in the world, including governments. So do you feel that computing should be sort of a recognized profession on par with some of the other professions, with things like demonstrated professional development, adherence to code of ethics, personal responsibility, public accountability, quality assurance, or recognized credentials?
Well, I think, like, not that it should be to a certain extent, like, no, but, you know, one of the key things missing in IT profession is accountability, responsibility. And one of the key things, like, you know, that I look at lack of accountability, responsibility is, like, now, the way a lot of organizations or IT organizations or IT executives are looking at, you know, data, you know, storage or data management within organizations. Like, in my book, like, now, like, any kind of, like, corporate data is, like, now, intellectual property of the companies. And, you know, very often what I see, like, now, that, you know, the companies are trying to put this on cloud, they are going to move this and manage this in the lowest possible way without having any respect or understanding, like, you know, that, you know, any kind of the data, like, you know, this thing is a company intellectual property that needs to be protected. And so I think, like, you know, that, you know, before, like, you know, IT profession gets recognized as a profession itself, we have to have, you know, some code of accountability and responsibility that it's basically almost linked, like, not to the same level as, you know, accounting profession or, you know, any other profession, like, now, or, you know, engineering profession, like, now, that there's, like, not a specific, not necessarily code of ethics, like, you know, but there's certain, understanding, in terms of, you know, role of IT executives and, you know, and the impact on, well-being of the organizations. We can see, like, you know, a lot of, like, you know, cases of data hacking, you know, and in a lot of cases, like, you know, the data is being hacked, like, you know, because, you know, some of those IT professionals, like, you know, did not ensure, like, you know, the proper, like, the safeguarding of intellectual property of the companies, primarily because they don't understand, like, you know, that this thing is not data anymore, like, you know, that this thing is intellectual property of the companies, like, you know, that it needs to be protected.
So we're going to change a bit of direction again here. You know, you have so many interests. Can you talk about any of them?
Well, you know, like, in my busy life, you know, there's not really a lot of time, like, you know, left for, you know, like, hobbies or some other interests. But one of the things, like, you know, that I like and enjoy doing is, like, you know, gardening. And, you know, this thing is a way for me, like, you know, to relax, but it's also, like, a way to escape, like, you know, from the busy life and actually go to a different level of creation. Because, you know, gardening, in a sense, it's creation. And, you know, one of the things, like, you know, that we did around our house, we created, like, you know, something that I call eatable landscaping. So instead of, like, you know, having, like, you know, evergreens and so on, we actually embedded, like, you know, all kinds of, like, you know, different plants, you know, blueberries, for example, you know, like blackberries and so on, that they form, like, you know, landscaping, but at the same time, they are eatable. So, you know, the whole idea here, it was, like, you know, create something, again, like, you know, like, innovative, right? But, you know, something, like, you know, that, you know, I can enjoy and something that it gives me relaxation, like, not to work. So I'm quite happy, you know, about my eatable landscaping garden.
Mark, because of your reputation and your excellence as a leader and innovator, you do a lot of traveling, speaking, and so on. Can you share some stories that perhaps are amusing or surprising, unexpected or amazing?
Well, you know, like, I travel quite a lot, like, now, I would say on a yearly basis, like, now, sometimes even, like, now, 20 different trips, like, now, like, to all different parts of the world. And, you know, I remember, like, now, like, years ago, like, now, like, probably, you know, 20 years or so, you know, when I arrived, like, now, to Taiwan, you know, and, you know, we actually have some product development team over there, we went to a restaurant, And the party, like not that I was with, like not they took me like not to a big aquarium, and this is what I thought. And they basically showed me like not all kinds of different fish. And I didn't understood exactly what this was about, because most of them, like they just spoke like the Mandarin and so on. And they just asked me like not to select the fish. And I thought like no, that this is the fish like not that I like. But actually what happened, like this was like the fish that I was selecting for dinner. Right? So, a few minutes later, I basically saw like the fish coming, already prepared, on the plate, and served on the table. And so, this always like in a sense stays in my head, that there's some things that we expect are normal. Sometimes they are different, and so on. So this was like one of the stories that somehow it comes to my head quite often.
Well, it's a fascinating story. And again, another sort of open-ended question. You choose the topic area. What do you see as some of the top challenges facing us today? And do you have any solutions?
Well, I think the biggest challenge that is facing us is a decline of humanity, and in a sense finding a way of reviving this. And internet and all kinds of communications like great, but what's happening the person to person contact is being removed very often. And so we basically need to go back to renaissance of the human connection, talking to people, meeting with people, getting the opinions and so on. And also develop a skill that we can disagree with people and still be the friends. And I think that this is one of those things that we lost, in this pursuit of consensus building. We actually forgot, that we are supposed to be different, that each human is supposed to be different. Each human, it should be himself or herself. And we are trying to develop, uniformities that everybody is the same. So I think, that this is, the biggest challenge. And, to handle any challenge, the first is to recognize that this is a challenge. And then, we can work on this. And so, I'm really concerned about this loss of humanity, the way I call this.
We're down to our final question, and this is where I kind of turn the tables on you. And I'm saying that if you were conducting this interview, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
Well, this, this thing is a surprising question in a sense, right? Well, for sure, I would like to know, what drives people, why they do what they do, in terms of, the things or events in their lives and so on. I would like to basically understand, motivations for them, why they are doing this, why they would actually, be rebels, and why they would actually drive innovation and so on. What is inside the heads, that is actually making them to do this? So, in other words, I would probably ask a series of questions related to anatomy of innovation, anatomy of being different. And, some questions related, to the whole process of, becoming different, right? Because, I think about myself, and the whole of my education was that I'm supposed to be myself, I'm supposed to be me, not anybody else. And in the course of doing this, I'm supposed, and I am responsible and accountable for my actions and inactions, and any kind of challenges or any kind of the problems on the way, this thing is my responsibility. And I think those are the things that I would be looking for, understanding the level of accountability and responsibility of the person, what drives them, and why.
Well, that's interesting, and I guess that sort of ties in with all the innovation, and you're a rebel also, so just your background that you have. Mark, I know your schedule is demanding, and We're indeed fortunate to have you come to do this interview. So thank you for sharing so much of your insights with our audience.
Stephen, thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to talking to you again. And meantime, all the best to everybody.
Excellent. And all the best to you. And I want to close by saying I'm Stephen Ibaraki. And this concludes our exclusive interview with Mark Bialik, president of Eurocom Corporation, an award-winning top innovation executive.